It's Friday, August 27th, 2021, and this is What's the Point? On the show this week, with classes about to resume, will the embattled Peel District School Board, with its new Director of Education and fractured Board of Trustees, finally put the needs of students first? To talk about that with this week's virtual in-studio guest is your host, Joel Whitnable.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to What's the Point? Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that The Pointer has been covering for a couple of years now and done a lot of coverage and a lot of stories on, and it's an issue that has been impacting a lot of students, a lot of people, and parents in Peel. And the most recent development has a lot of people concerned, as we have now at the Peel District School Board, as anyone knows who's been reading The Pointer, a school board that is really trying to fix a lot of issues of the past, issues that have seen systemic racism just persist in the board, and that something that has done a lot of harm to Black students and visible minority students across the board. And last year, we saw the ministry step in to finally order some real change with 27 of their binding directives that the board is trying to work through right now. But most recently this week, we had a letter sent to the province from 9 trustees looking to get the supervisor responsible for making sure that those changes are enacted, looking to get him removed from his position, essentially saying that he's kind of overstayed his welcome. And we have Kathy McDonald with us, a trustee at PDSB, who did not sign this open letter. And Kathy, can you tell me, when you got this letter or when you received it and read it over for the first time, what was your general reaction? Can you tell us why you refused to sign it?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me this morning. And, you know, I would tell you that nothing surprises me. So when I got an email about wanting to support the removal of the supervisor, Bruce Rodriguez, and in less than 48 hours, the letter was sent out, right? I was not shocked. And the whole process of this letter, to me, just highlighted the need for our supervisor to still be in place. Because, you know, if you're looking at an approach and you claim we have learned about government, we understand our governance and we want to be constructive, I would imagine that the first step would be first meeting with Bruce and expressing concerns you have, right? If you email trustees and you want input and you truly want input from the trustee, you'd give them time to respond. And coincidentally, when I got that email, Rogers in my area was down on the Wednesday. So technically, I had only seen the email for about, I would say probably 4 or 5 hours, and then poof, you know, an email went out. So I really questioned the genuine request. If the request for my input was even genuine. And it just goes to show back to the old board, where the minority opinion or people they think might have a minority opinion or a dissenting opinion or a differing opinion, they're really prepared to just ignore it and proceed. Right. And it's very important that whilst the majority may want to rule, it's important to hear other points of view and to come with an open mind. Right. Another thing this whole process highlights, in my opinion, is the fact that, you know, from the day one of being a trustee, for me, all I wanted to do was address what I saw as blatant systemic racism. And I saw ABR, and I think there are two forms of ABR at the Peel District School Board. So there was anti-Black racism, but there's also anti-Brampton racism, right? So they also have dynamics where, and the majority of the trustees of our board are not from Brampton. So when I look at things, programs, for example, how they're distributed in our board, and I looked at our gifted program, our SciTech program, ESL programs, I look at the disparity between Brampton and Mississauga, and that's a concern to me, and it should be a concern to your listeners, because you look, for example, at the gifted program. Why is it that there are almost 400 gifted spots in Mississauga, mainly in the south, and there are a little over 60 in Brampton? And Brampton has more students. And to this date, I'm unable to get it adequately addressed. And I will not stop until we have equity in even how Brampton kids are seen as being worthy of being gifted. And for example, in the gifted program, what about ESL students? Because my first language is not English, does that mean I can't be gifted? Now, if you understand what giftedness is, that makes no sense. Why are so many of our kids not being admitted into gifted programs, right? The SciTech programs, when I first came as a trustee, there was so much, it was the disproportionate amount of SciTech programs in the South versus in Brampton, right? And I look, for example, at, again, advocating for them to increase the SciTech program in Brampton, which I was successful on that initiative, right? And so this whole quest for getting rid of Bruce Rodriguez, to me, is a desperate attempt to try and regain control of the governance of the board and undo the work and try to almost flex your muscles, right? And I think, as the directive said, until we demonstrate that we can govern, the governance portion of our role will not be returned to us.
Kathy, do you think, and this is the thing that really bothers me to my core, is to think about the students that are, you know, either going back to another school year starting in September. And do you think that the trustees who are asking for this to be removed, the supervisory role to be removed, which would put a lot of these directives in question of whether they'd be actually completed, do you think that trustees that ask for this understand the harm that is being done to Black and visible minority students because of the policies and the way that the board is run? Because I you know, you see a pattern of behavior. You know, the 9 trustees that put forward this letter have a history of racist remarks, refusing to apologize, blocking the voices of parents and Black activists in the community from speaking at board meetings. And so, you know, I see this pattern of behavior that they continue to really, I don't know if it's not grasping the seriousness of the situation or the seriousness of how the ministry is pushing for these changes. But I always just go back to these students, and I can't see blocking or trying to regain control when you clearly are not able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, but yet you continue to push and try and do that. Do you think that the vast majority of the trustees who put their name on that letter grasp the harm that Black students have been done? We've heard from these students in the surveys and in these reviews that were done. They put their voices forward and they had some really, you know, disturbing things to say. Do you think that the trustees grasp that?
In my opinion, I think it's a more situation where they absolutely just don't care. And they are almost in a position of, I have this privilege and I'm going to flex my muscles. I don't think if individuals truly centered students, right? Because at the end of the day, as you said, this is about students and all students' success and achieving, including Black students, right? And if they truly centered students in their decisions, then I don't think we would be having this discussion today. Because when I look at all that is happening within our board and the attack that are happening to racialized individuals that are doing the work, right? It's a tragedy. When we look at a student who happens to be the child of a single mom who is in senior leadership at that board, and to have individuals, right, and members of the board of trustees that would participate in a witch hunt, which is only serves, in my opinion, to harm a minor that's in our care, I truly believe that they just don't care. They don't put the students' needs and the students at the center of all decisions. Because to have a former union leader get involved in a situation where we have no role as trustees, because I can imagine as a union leader, if a union leader found out that the director of education and a trustee was meeting with one of their members to discipline them or discuss them, that union leader would have flipped and would have had been making up all signs of ruckus, right? But it's okay for you, who should know better, to participate in a meeting with the director of education, with staff members, right, discussing an associate director. I think that is unethical. I think that's overstepping the role as a trustee. As a trustee, we should have sent the member who came with that complaint to the principal or vice principal, direct them to the proper channels. And that just shows, again, that we are not ready to govern. We don't understand our role in terms of the governance of this board and our duty actually to our students. I'll give you another example. I remember being in a meeting when one trustee, I raised an issue that, you know, our flyers only reflect one population when you're trying to advertise for certain programs, like gifted programs or SciTech programs. And the retort to that was, well, if I would not apply to a program just because I didn't see my face on the program. But we have to understand that students are not naive, and they know when they are welcome in spaces, right? And not everyone is going to go ahead into a space where they're constantly being told you don't belong in that space. So when I look at, you know, the actions of the trustees in demanding the removal of Bruce Rodriguez as our supervisor, in my opinion, it puts into question their ability to really be self-reflective and think critically and say, are we truly ready? Are we truly serving our students to the best of our abilities by asking for Bruce removal? And to me, I think the answer to those questions is no, we're not ready, and we will not be serving students to the best of our abilities.
And Kathy, what will it take to get there? I see, you know, continuously at the board, just barriers to anything that challenges the status quo. And I think this letter is a perfect example of that, of a big push to get things back to the way they were before. We've seen the meetings that get really heated. We've seen the community pushing for change. What will it take around the board, the trustees table, for that to happen?
Well, you know, every time I think there's a glimmer of hope, things like this happen. You know, this letter appears, right? And I think to really make change happen, it goes almost, I'm in agreement with Arlene Huggins' report. The board is so fractured, it's almost incapable of seeing the humanity in Black children, in Muslim children, in children with disabilities, that I don't know if we are capable, really, of being ready within the next, because really an election is in the next year, right? In being ready to serve the Peel District School Board in full capacity as trustees, meaning having the governance portion of our role returned to us. Because the work required, I don't know if there's a will of individuals to do it. Because even before sending out the letter, in my opinion, right, perhaps one of them could have said, well, you know what, we should have some kind of a truth and reconciliation, some kind of meeting to find out how people are feeling, how we want to move forward. But it was no even genuine attempt to say, let us try as a board to see how we can work together. We have undergone training. Right. But then I say, OK, we underwent training, but then what? To what end? Right. What did we learn from that training? Because clearly it's a matter of, we just need to elect a chair and vice chair. It's almost like a power grab. We are talking about the lives of children. And education is so important to changing the socioeconomic status of people, to give them the skills to be productive citizens in this world, right? And I can't understand why there seems to be an attempt to just ignore the cries and the pleas of some members of the community. It's really sad as to, I think, where we are at this moment. It's really hard to express the frustration that I feel, because every day I get up and I figure, okay, today's the day, and I'm a very positive person, and I'm willing to work with just about any person and to really get the work that needs to be done, done. But it's not reciprocated in terms of the genuine desire for people to do what's best for children, including Black children. Joel, to my face, I've been told that Black children were bad and savages, right? By a staff member in the board. And I had to look on that person and say, so you think I'm a savage? Like, when did I stop being a savage in your eyes? Right? And oh, they don't mean me, but I was once a little Black girl trying to get an education. Right? And this is not always, you know, the narrative and people, the racist rhetoric that's out there, that somehow, like, you know, you'd have past chairs talk about only wanting to hire the best of the best. Right? What do you mean by that? Hiring Black or Indigenous teachers? Right? That's not hiring the best of the best. When you look at people, you have parents that have written in, oh, what's happening with these regional learning choice programs, right? You wanted to admit delinquent kids. We're so ready to see Black children from a negative and a deficit lens, Indigenous children, right? And yet still we're not willing to stand up and acknowledge the harm that has been done to our children. It's like, suck it up, buttercup, get over it. That's not how this works. There's generational trauma. Just look what's happening with our residential schools. Every, you know, there was a time where it seemed like every other day we were discovering bodies, and I'm sure we're going to discover more bodies in time to come, right? You don't just get over, these are real traumas that affect people's lives for generations. Can you imagine being a parent and your child is not coming back home, and you're told, oh, well, suck it up, buttercup? That's not how it works. We need to make concrete changes and end this. And I don't understand why people are afraid. Why is it okay for Black students to be constantly given crumbs? I mean, just even recently, I was in a space. One kid walks through a group of talking adults and just gets a pass. And a Black kid did the exact same thing within a nanosecond after and gets held back. Hey, do you know you have, you know, the proper thing to do? Say, excuse me, when walking through adults. Now, I'm not saying that it's not the proper thing to do to say, excuse me, when walking through adults. But why is it that one child who was not Black was allowed to do it? And then you chastise the Black child. That's the day-to-day experience of our Black kids in education. And it has to stop.
The part of it that I said before is the hardest for me to comprehend, because someone who's elected as a trustee, you would think that that is the number one thing that they would have at the front of their minds, is the betterment of an education system for the students. Mm-hmm. And with what we've seen again and again at the PDSB, it's just, it seems so misguided from so many of these trustees that they clearly do not have the student welfare at the forefront. And you know, and like you said, Kathy, there's an election coming up in October of 2022. Is there a way, in your opinion, for some of these trustees to mend, or is there a way for the board itself to mend its relationship, not with each other, but with the community? We've seen again and again, the community call for change, and they show up pre-COVID at these meetings, and even digitally, they show up to demand this change. And again, they just, every time there's, like you said, Kathy, a glimmer of hope, it's extinguished. It's, you know, one step forward, five steps back. Mm-hmm. And is there a way for the PDSB to mend its relationship with the residents of Peel, who, you know, and the parents who are sending their kids to PDSB schools?
I always believe there is a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. But the board has to be willing to, one, sit down and have a truth and reconciliation with the communities that have been harmed. And I think that's the first step. We have to look back at our transgressions and be honest. And it's not a matter of finger pointing, oh, I'm better than you. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of being honest and critical of ourselves and our actions. Even when I look at the whole letter writing, I'm thinking, if you look at Bruce Rodriguez as an individual, right? I cannot comprehend. It's not like Bruce is a vile, vicious person. He's reasonable, right? He tries to be accommodating to all of us, let us all get our voices heard. Decisions aren't being made, even though we don't have the final say, as in, you know, vote and the majority rules. There is no decision that he just hands down and said, this is it. He will solicit from us and say, okay, this is happening. What are your inputs? In the letter, they spoke about the hiring of our new director of education, right? The trustees, we got to select two people who we wanted to be involved in the committee, right? I've gotten letters from people who have left the board and should just stay and stop meddling and inserting themselves into board runnings and board issues, right? But people are talking about a dictatorship. It's not a dictatorship at all. I think we have been given fair opportunity to voice our opinions and concerns. He's not unapproachable, right? If they were concerned about electing a chair or vice chair or how the process, to me, wouldn't you pick up the phone and call him? He's not a scary, you know, frightening. In fact, he's quite the opposite. He's quite a relaxed, not an intimidating fella at all, right? It's not like, say, you know, oh, I'm afraid to talk to Bruce. He's always available to us. You can email him, you can call him. And I just don't understand why they had to go this kind of adversarial route and send it out to all the media, like they were trying to create this firestorm and this frenzy. I just don't understand. And that, to me, is a big telltale signs of what is wrong. And the only way going forward would be for us to be able to sit down, right? Check all egos at the door, check all our ambitions and this power grab, and have honest discussions and not be defensive and just listen, like, because there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? And trying to seek understanding as to other people's point of views.
Kathy, I do want to go back to the letter. I know we've spoken a lot about the impact and what the meaning and the significance of those trustees trying to sort of regain control, what that means for the board itself. But looking at the letter specifically, I know that you and I have discussed that there were particular parts of it, whether it's the tone, sort of this really adversarial tone, I think is probably the best way to put it. But I know there were particular parts of it, particularly pertaining to the new director and other parts that you found problematic. Do you want to tell the listeners sort of what you thought of the really particular language and things that were said in that letter?
I do think the tone is adversarial. You know, I look, for example, at how the letter is signed, the end of the letter, right? And it states that it is vital that all the trustees that were entrusted by voters to, you know, basically spend the last 15 months at the PDSB making sure that the board is running smoothly, right? And I'm paraphrasing it. And one would argue that Bruce Rodriguez, from the moment he got here, has been ensuring that the board is running smoothly. And I think that's important for families and students and employees to note that they are getting the best of the best right now in terms of governance, right? Because we are not there yet. And I think it's important for trustees to know, all trustees to know, yes, we're elected by members from our ward, but we don't only serve the members in our ward. We need to do what is right for the Peel District School Board, the corporation, for all students, right? I have principals who would tell you from Mississauga, when they come to Brampton, it's like a totally different world. Even the resources, the funding in the schools, right? And that has been addressed, and we've come a long way since I've been a trustee. But as a trustee in Mississauga, we need to ensure that the Brampton students are not being shortchanged, because a Mississauga trustee has a duty to ensure that Brampton children are thriving and are getting programs just like the children in South Mississauga. The tone of the letter also is mean-spirited, in that the way the directors were mentioned, it is almost as if to say that they have an issue with the new director. And again, they did not blatantly state it in the letter, but as someone reading the letter, I think that the words like "it is now in the hands," as if to say it's a bad thing. We should spend our time being more reflective on our journeys to this point, how we got here, and try to make meaningful and concrete changes to how we govern. And I don't think sending this letter was a good start to show the Peel public that we are ready to, in fact, govern this board. And I also want to add that if people ever doubt how stressful this work can be, there was a community member, Kola Iliamade, who actually died doing this work, I would argue, right? Because it's not lost on me that he collapsed whilst writing a delegation for the Peel board. This work should not be so traumatic. People should not have to pay such a price because you're trying to let a board of trustees realize that Black children are worthy of a good education, are worthy of high expectations, are worthy of not being hyper-surveilled and hyper-policed, all because they simply want to learn.
This week's show was hosted by Joel Whitnable, produced by yours truly. Music from Shahed. Thanks to our special guest once again, PDSB trustee Kathy McDonald. And check out new episodes of What's the Point weekly here at thepointer.com. I'm Jeff Chalmers. Thank you for listening. See you next time.